This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Baruchim Abam to the Kollel Agra de Pirka. National Monday Morning Share. Okay, so we have to begin again. That means we have to give the whole introduction with all the jokes. So we'll do it very briefly. This time I see we're even in better position. But we welcome everybody. First, some good news. We have the Sefer on Shemois. The new Sefer Baruch Hashem just arrived in America. That will be available. There'll be a link out later today. And if you want to get your English book, The Light and the Splendor, right behind Ephraim's left shoulder, we have a beautiful copy over there. Great position. Actually, the right shoulder on Ephraim's right, but on our, the way on from our vantage point, I believe it's our left side. Okay, welcome everyone. Very important subject today. Parshas Vayishlach, as well as the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. The Shlach HaKadosh in Masechta Yuma makes a comment that really made me very curious. It really struck a chord in me. The Shlach HaKadosh says, Chanukah and Purim are Shnei Reim, they're two friends. To me, that's such a beautiful expression. Chanukah and Purim are two friends. Uva Zohar Amru, in the Zohar, it says, Shehim Neged Netzach V'Hoid. Not only are they two friends, but they correspond to two mystical manifestations. That there's an idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam has spheros, mystical emanations or manifestations. Man is created B'Tzelem Elohim, in the image of the spheros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the metaphysical thighs, if you were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are called Netzach and Hoid. Chanukah is Netzach, Chuasam HaYisa La Netzach, Purim is Hoid, grandeur, splendor, and they form one entity. So again, by the fact that the Zohar HaKadosh refers to Chanukah and Purim as Netzach and Hoid, which are the two thighs that come together as one trunk, Tiferes, that also indicates a very important connection between Chanukah and Purim. What exactly is this idea that Chanukah and Purim are two friends? It's such a beautiful phraseology that these two Yomim Tovim are friends with each other. Let's try to investigate that. Let's try to study that. Rav Yitzchak Arama, in the Akedas Yitzchak, he says a beautiful idea, a stunning idea, that Chanukah and Purim are made, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found with us in the Golos. He says this in Maramakim number 23, that He saves us from every distress and every trouble, like we say, Va'af gam zois bi'oisam be'eretz oivehem, lo'i ma'astim, v'lo'i ga'altim l'chaloisam, because these Yomim Tovim were enacted in the darkness of the exile, that Hashem is with us even when there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no temple. Sfas Emes elaborates that what these two Yomim Tovim have in common is that they give us light, they provide light in the dark days of Galus. Even during Choshech, Hashem is with us, says the Sfas Emes on Chanukah and the Likutim, page Pei Dalet, number 21 on your sheets. The Imre Emes elaborates that, technically speaking, these are two Yomim Tovim that come out during the weekdays. And when we say that they have a din of a weekday type of Yom Tov, in other words, when Pesach is over, we make Havdalah. When Shavuos is over, we make Havdalah. But when Chanukah is over, we don't make Havdalah. When Purim is over, we don't make Havdalah. And the significance of that is that these are Yomim Tovim that are weekday Yomim Tovim. The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that originally when Mordechai wanted to enact the Yom Tov of Purim, he tried to enact it Mishta, the Simcha, the Yom Tov. However, in Esther, Parak Tes Pasuk Chav Beis, it was enacted as Mishta V'Simcha, but that's it. Yom Tov is missing. The word Yom Tov was missing from the final enactment of Purim. And that is because Purim was not enacted as a Yom Tov. And the Mekubalim ask, why, in fact, was Purim not enacted as Yom Tov? And the idea is that if Purim would have been enacted as a Yom Tov, then we would have had to make Havdalah when Purim was over. And a Yid cannot bring themselves to be Mavdil, to separate from Purim. So the idea of Chanukah and Purim is they both share in common. These are days we never have to separate from. We never have to be Mavdil from. And we could take them with us throughout the Galus. The Me'ema says, that's what Achashverosh tells Esther. That is what Esther is mispalel. Yinosein gam machar la Yehudim. These are days that continue till tomorrow. They exist throughout the Galus. These are days that we carry with us throughout the Galus. So this again establishes a connection between Chanukah and Purim. As the Akedah says, it demonstrates Hashem is with us even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Like the Sfas Emes says, they illuminate the darkness of the Galus. They both are Yomim Tovim that come out during the week. But let's try to probe further and plumb the depth of this statement of the Shla, that Chanukah and Purim are two Reim. In fact, the Shla says the days in between Chanukah and Purim are like Chol HaMoed to a certain extent. So let's try to understand this. So Yaakov Avinu is returning back to Eretz Yisrael, and he's about to encounter Esav. And as he's encountering Esav, he goes back for some jugs, for some pachim ketanim. And all of a sudden, he's encountered by the Sarai Shal Esav, the arch angel of Esav, who comes to destroy Yaakov Avinu. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman teaches us that Yaakov Avinu's return from the Golos to Eretz Yisrael is a pre-enactment. It's a Maaseh Avos Sim L'Banim. As the Jewish people return to the land of Israel at the end of the Golos, and they are attacked by Sarai Shal Esav. They are attacked by the ministering angels of Esav. The ministering angel of Esav. This then represents the period of time, says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, of Ikvisa de Mashiach. Not quite Mashiach has come, but this is the heels of Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, the era in directly prior to the coming of Mashiach. So we need to study this encounter between Yaakov and Esav and how it reflects and portends to our time and how we should accord ourselves in the era before the coming of Mashiach. And the Chafetz Chaim makes a phenomenal observation. The Chafetz Chaim observed that when the angel of Esav attacks Yaakov Avinu, why is it? He says, by the way, that Yaakov Avinu going to Haran is the subject of Galus. And Yaakov Avinu returning to Eretz Yisrael is Ikvasa de Mashiach. And the angel of Esav turns to Yaakov Avinu, and he tries to destroy Yaakov Avinu. Why is it that the Sarai Shal Esav, the ministering angel of Esav, only tried to destroy Jacob? Why don't we find an instance where the Malach HaMaves, the Sarai Shal Esav, the Yetzirah, tries to destroy Yitzchak Avinu? Why don't we find an instance where the Yetzirah tries to wrestle and destroy Yaakov Avinu? I mean, this wrestling match is unique to Yaakov. We don't find any attempt made by the Sitra Achra, by the Samach Mem, to destroy any of the other Avais. And the Chafetz Chaim explained very powerfully, Avram Avinu represents the Midah of Chesed, kindliness, kind deeds, while the Yetzahara does not approve of Gemilas Chasadim. While Gemilas Chasadim is a great Zuchus, the Yetzahara will swallow it, he'll tolerate it, he could stand it, he'll slide with it. Yitzchak Avinu is Midas HaGevura, Avoida, Tefila. The Yetzirah does not enjoy, appreciate Tefila, but he could tolerate it, he could stand it. However, Marv Raboisai, Yaakov Avinu represents Limud HaTorah. He's the Yishtam Yoishev Ayhalem. And Yaakov Avinu cannot tolerate Limud HaTorah. He cannot stand it. It disturbs him. It's troublesome to him. Yaakov Avinu, if you were, is the kryptonite for the Yetzer Hara. Torah is the antidote for the Yetzer Hara. Like the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Lamed Amud Beis. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Loi Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzer Hara, but Torah is the antidote. It's the knockout punch of the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra, Achra, the Samach Mem can tolerate Avraham, he can tolerate Yitzchak, he cannot tolerate Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, he wants to destroy Yaakov, and he attempts to destroy Yaakov. But he realizes, Vayar kilo yachala, he sees he cannot prevail. Vayiga bechaf yerecha, he strikes the hip socket of Yaakov. Vateika kaf yerech Yaakov beheyavgoy imay. Says the Zohar HaKadosh that there is a great symbolism in this attempt of the Satan to dislocate the hip socket of Yaakov Avinu. The Zohar HaKadosh says that somebody who learns Torah needs financial support, someone to provide him with opportunities, to allow him to learn with Bekedusha, Bitahara, without interruption, without worry, without daiga. And when we say Talmidei Chachamim need support, it's not just they need support to eat a piece of bread and drink water. They need support to learn B'menucha. They need support so that they have the wherewithal to have the peace of mind to be completely immersed in Limud HaTorah. Klal Yisrael is the greatest nation in the world. They're the most generous. They're the most magnanimous. They give to so many causes. Yesoimim, Almanos, Hatsala, ill, sick, infertility, poverty, Shabbos, you name it, Klal Yisrael is generous when it comes to all social welfare needs. However, none of the above are the primary priority when it comes to tzedakah. Did you know that? As important as poor people are, as important as sick people are, as important as infertility is, as important as shidduchim are, as important as all the causes are, the most important cause for tzedakah is supporting Talmud Torah. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The purpose of Maser is Vihi Teref Bevesi. Did you know that? The purpose of Maser is to support Talmud Torah, to support Yeshivas, Koilalim, Talmidei Chachamim. And yes, it's difficult. Yes, maybe in our heart we don't have the same soft spot for that cause. But that is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. Because the greatest chesed in the world is performed by those who learn Torah because they uphold the whole world. The Zohar says, the nations of the world become stronger when Jews do not support Talmidei Chachamim and Torah causes. When Klal Yisrael is weak in supporting the Torah, it strengthens our enemy. Who's our enemy? The snake. The snake has no legs. The snake has no support. The snake was cursed. Agachoin chateilech. Says the Zohar. But when we don't support Talmud Torah, we give legs to the snake. We give legs to the Samach Mem. The Samach Mem, his mode of transportation is the Nachash. So on that fateful night, when the Samach Mem came to destroy and attack Yaakov Avinu, he knew he couldn't weaken the Limud HaTorah of Yaakov Avinu. So what he was going to do was he was going to weaken the support of Yaakov Avinu. He was going to weaken the support of the financiers of Talmud Torah. And by doing so, he would give leg to the Nachash. This, says the Zohar, is the tactic of the Yetzer Hara. He can't stop the Talmidei Chachamim from learning, but he could stop the supporters from assisting and facilitating. He's riding on the Nachash to Yaakov Avinu. He knows HaKol Kol Yaakov. But if he stops the Kol Yaakov, then he gives Yadayim Yidei Esav. Says the Zohar, Kad Yisrael Lo Yibon L'Samcha Le'Lo Yiraisa Inun Yovin Le'Samchin V'Shoikin L'Kayomo L'Satakva Bahu. So if you see the nations of the world are strong, if you see that they're prevailing against the Jewish people, it's because we're not giving enough tzedakah to support Talmud Torah, period. You know, you can make an appeal for every worthy Jewish cause and you'll have a sympathetic audience. But when it comes to supporting Kollelim or Yeshivas, that's somehow we don't have the same sensitivity toward. And that's because the Yetzer Hara exerts most of his energy to undermine the support of Talmud Torah. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, if this battle between Yaakov and Esav is the battle of Ikvas Adam Mashiach, the battle that will take place in the end of days, then you need to know that before Mashiach comes, the main emphasis and efforts of the Yetzer Hara will be to undermine the support of Talmud Torah. So that's the simple pshat of Tamchin d'Oraisa. The Zohar says when the angel of Esav saw he would not overcome Yaakov Avinu, he figured instead of overcoming the Talmud Chacham, he'll strike him at the hip socket. Says the Zohar, Elu Tamchin Da'iraisa. Elu Tamchin Da'iraisa. It refers to the support of Torah. Interestingly, the B'nai Yisachar has a little bit of a Kabbalistic take on this. He says the Tamchin Da'iraisa are the mystical spheroids of Netzach and Hoid, and they hold up Da'iraisa, which is the Midah of Tiferes. Netzach, as we mentioned, is Purim. Hoid is Chanukah. In that case, the Sitra Achra, the angel of Esav, is coming to destroy Chanukah and Purim. And that is why on Chanukah and Purim, we have a specific mitzvah to increase tzedakah to Talmidei Chachamim, to Yeshivas, to Kollelim. On Chanukah, on Purim, we know there's a mitzvah matanos le'avyonim. On Chanukah too, Prima Gadim brings that there's a special mitzvah to gift the poor Torah scholars. That holds up the Torah. Marv Rabbeisai, but let's take this to another level. Comes Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Now, I recently had the great zechus to be on the Mount of Olives, Har HaZeisim. And on Har HaZeisim, I was at the kever of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and his Rebbe, Rabbi Avram Shag. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, I actually, on Shabbos, I was in Givat Ze'ev, and I stayed in the house of the grandson of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was the master of gematrios. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld once counted up the number of words we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, and he arrived at 702, Begematria Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said in Yeshaya Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin, Tziyoin b'mishpati padeh v'shaveha b'tzedakah. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh Talmud Yerushalmi, Gematria Talmud Yerushalmi, v'shaveha b'tzedaka Gematria Talmud Bavli. Shmoyne Esrei, 613 words. Adding Kishem Hashem, Ekra Avogadol, like in another 7 words, of Kenegi the Mitzvos Derabanan. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, of course, davened Nusach Ashkenaz, but he would enjoy davening Nusach Sfarad on Shabbos, because Nusach Sfarad says Kesar. Kesar is Gematria 620. Rabbi Yosef Chaim would say, you know, we have 57 brachos a day in Shemoneh Esrei, 19, plus two Chazar Sashatz, plus another 38, 95 brachos a day for 6 days, that's a total of 570. On Shabbos, we say Mariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, four Shemoneh Esreis, three Chazar Sashas. That's seven Shemoneh Esreis with seven brachas, 49, 619. During the course of the week, we say 619 brachas. Keser, 620, is the crown that ties together all 619 brachas. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, when the angel of Esav attacked Yaakov Avinu, Vayiga b'chaf yirechoy, Vayiga is Gematria 89, Chanukah kaf yirechoy is Gematria 336, Purim. Unbelievable. The angel of Esav attempted to destroy Chanukah and Purim. Vayiga Gematria Chanukah kaf yirechoy Gematria Purim. Let us endeavor to explain and understand in what way are Chanukah and Purim what we call Tamchin de Oraisa, support of the Torah, and furthermore, how did Esav try to uproot Chanukah and Purim? You know, there's something called Megillas Antiochus, which contains a written account of the story and history of Chanukah. And some communities, they have a communal reading of Megillas Antiochus. But nobody has an obligatory reading of Megillas Antiochus. In fact, the Yad HaMelech of Rebbe Lezer Segel Landau, a grandson of Yehuda, wonders, why are we not obligated to read Megillas Antiochus? After all, the Gemara Masech, the Megillah, makes a Kal V'Chomer, which seems to indicate that laning the Megillah on Purim is a Doraisa. They made a Kal V'Chomer, Uma me avdus l'cheiros amrinon shira. If when we left servitude, we went to freedom, we sang shira. Mimisa l'chayim l'kol shekein. That when Hashem saved our lives in the times of Purim, we should certainly read the Megillah. So by the same token, we should make a similar Kal V'Chomer on Chanukah, that if when God took us out of Egypt, we have to sing Shira, we should have a Megillah for Chanukah. However, it's interesting, in the Siddur Oitzer HaTfilos, he brings in the community of Karasov and Kappa, they in fact do read Megillas Antiochus. We have it here on the sheet, in number 17, the Tosis Rid in Sukkah Mem Daud Amud Beis talks about places where they had the custom to read Megillas Antiochus on Chanukah, but we don't make a bracha. But the question is, why do we not really read Megillas Antiochus? Why do most communities not read it? You know, there's something called the Book of the Maccabees, which is part of Christian scripture. Isn't it odd that we who celebrate Chanukah do not read the Megillas Antiochus? We do not subscribe, we do not treat the Book of the Maccabees with sanctity, and the Christians who do not celebrate Chanukah, they have it as part of their canonized Bible. So I would like today to present to you an original reason why not only are we not required to read Megillas Antiochus on Chanukah, but we're not allowed to read Megillas Antiochus on Chanukah. Not only are we not allowed to, it would be antithetical to the entire purpose of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And let's begin with a Gemara in Masech Yuma. In Perek Chav Beis of Tehillim, which is a perek about Purim, Lam Natseach Alayelas HaShachar Mizmar LeDavid. for the conductor on the Ayelas HaShachar, a psalm by David. Ayelas HaShachar, the morning star, Esther is likened to the morning star. And the Gemara in Masechet Yuma asks, how is Esther like the morning star? And the Gemara says, well, just like the morning star is the end of the night, Esther is the end of all the miracles. It's the Gemara in Yuma Dav Chavtes. Ask the Gemara, V'ha'ika Chanukah! What do you mean Esther is the final miracle? What about Chanukah, number 8 on your sheets? Why isn't Chanukah the final miracle? Purim occurred in the 70 years between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah happened in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Chanukah came after Purim. So why do we say Esther is the end of the miracles? And the Gemara answers, Nitna lichtoiv ka'amrina. What we mean is, it's the last miracle that's able to be written down. Chanukah is not allowed to be written down. Purim is allowed to be written down. Now, as mentioned, what do you mean Chanukah is not allowed to be written down? It is written down. There's something called Megillas Antiochus, is the Book of the Maccabees. But on the other hand, we don't really read it. So what does it mean Purim could be written and Chanukah can't? Why is that? The Ben Yehoyada and tries to answer this question. Why is Chanukah withheld from being written down and Purim is canonized as part of the Tanakh? And the Ben Yehoyada says something very simple and something very profound as well. The Ben Yehoyada says that in the times of Esther, it was in the time between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. And there were prophets, and the prophets had Ruach HaKodesh. And the words that they wrote were divinely inspired. In order to write something down, and that account and narrative should be part of the scriptures, you can't just write beautiful, literary, poetic words. It has to be words that were inspired with the prophetic spirit of Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy. And there were indeed prophets in the times of Purim. Mordechai was a Navi. Esther was a Navi. But the story of Chanukah took place into the Bayis Sheni. It was when prophecy ceased. It was after the time of Malachi, Ezra, when God said He will never again speak to flesh and blood until Mashiach comes. So therefore, Chanukah cannot be written down. Yeah, you could write it in your notebook, but it cannot be canonized as part of the Tanakh. And we have an amazing teaching of the Shlah. You know, the final prophet was somebody by the name of Malachi, who the Gemara identifies as Ezra. And in the final prophecy to Malachi, the Ribbono Shel Olam says two things. First, he says, Zichru Toiras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oysoi B'choy Reva Kol Yisrael Chukim U'Mishpatim. Remember the Torah of Moses of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the second teaching of Malachi was, Hine Anoichi Shelech Lachem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi. Adios, Klal Yisrael. It's been nice speaking to you. I will not speak to you again until Mashiach comes. These are the final two prophecies. And herein lies the fundamental difference between Christianity and Judaism. Christianity has a major and fundamental question. God spoke to the final prophet, Malachi. And then 500 years later, they claim, God spoke to their so-called Savior. What was God doing for 500 years? Why didn't He talk to anyone for 500 years? So they have to scrounge around and they're looking around. How can we bridge the gap between Malachi and their so-called Savior? So therefore they try to shtup in as many books as possible in that interim period between Ezra and their so-called God. Dust to their mouths. So they put in the Book of the Maccabees and they subscribe to Megillas Antiochus because they're trying whatever they can to continue the current of scriptural divine communication. But it is our true tradition that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to the Navi Malachi and the first thing he said is, there will be people who claim that the law has been abrogated and you don't have to keep the law, the Christianity. So you need to know, before I stop speaking to man, Zichru Toiras Moshe Avdi, remember the law, you can't abrogate the law. Every mitzvah is in full force until the end of time. And the next important thing you need to know is I will not talk to man again until Mashiach comes. For anyone to claim prophecy after Malachi, that's api karsis, they're a heretic, and they are not considered faithful members of our people. It is a fundamental tenet of Judaism, number one, Taira zu loy tehe mochlefes, v'loy tehe taira acheres me'ez habar yisbrach shemai, that the Torah will never be abrogated, there will never be a new Torah, there will never be a new Israel. And number two, the second tenet is that Hashem will not speak to man until He sends Eliyahu HaNavi. Therefore, it is a fundamental tenet of our religion that Megillas Antiyoches and the Book of the Maccabees is not part of Tanakh. To allow them entry into the scriptural corpus is apikarsus and undermines the authenticity of the Tanakh. Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, let me explain to you how Chanukah and Purim are the two tamchin d'oiraisa, the two supports of the Torah, the two pillars of the Torah. He says as follows. There's a big question, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. He says, we have something called Purim. Purim has a Megillah. It's called Megillas Esther. That Megillah is part of Tanakh. Esther said, Kisvuni Ladoirois. They really didn't want to, but they allowed an entry in the Tanakh. And Chanukah also has a story. It's the story of Chanukah, and it also has a Megillah. It's called Megillas Antiyoches. And even so, it's not part of Tanakh. It's Loi Nitein Likasev. Purim is Nitein Likasev. Chanukah is Loi Nitein Likasev. Purim has a Megillah, it's part of Tanakh. Chanukah has a Megillah, it's not part of Tanakh. I have a question. Why is the Megillah of Purim part of Tanakh and the Megillah of Chanukah not part of Tanakh? You know what the answer is? The Megillah of Purim is part of Tanakh because it was written at a time that God communicated with prophets. The miracle of Chanukah is not part of Tanakh because it happened at a time in history where God did not communicate with prophets. And now, if anyone would ever rear their ugly head and say, well, 500 years later, God came to me and He told me to abrogate the law and you don't have to keep the mitzvahs and you don't have to keep Shabbos and there's a new Israel. We tell them, Sheker v'chazav, falsehood, baseless, emptiness, a mockery of the truth. You know why we know you're a falsehood? Chanukah and Purim! They uphold the Torah! How do they uphold the Torah? The seeming contradiction between Chanukah and Purim, that Purim has a Megillah that's part of Tanakh, Chanukah has a Purim that's not part of Tanakh. The answer is, God stopped speaking to the prophets! That upholds the whole Torah. Now, if anyone comes and says, God told me to abrogate the law, we tell them, go find a very nice kite and take it for a fly in the park. Chanukah and Purim uphold the whole Torah. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, that's the whole meaning of Chanukah. Chanukah is Chanu Chafhei. They rested by the 25th. How many books are there in Tanakh? It is our tradition that it says that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu like a kala. Just like a kala has 24 ornaments, so too the Torah. There are 24 books of the Tanakh. Esrim ba'arba svarim. What about Megillas Antiochus? Why can't that be a book? Ben Sira, Ben Tigla, the Medrash says. No! No more scripture! Chanu Chafhei! They stopped when they got to the 25th book. They stopped when they got to Megillas Antiochus. They did not allow an entry into the scriptures. The very definition of Chanukah is Chanu Chafhei! They stopped when they got to Megillas Antiochus. We asked, why don't we read Megillas Antiochus on Chanukah? That would be the most antithetical thing to do on Chanukah. The most contradictory thing you could possibly imagine to do on Chanukah would be to read Megillas Antiochus. The whole fabric, Chanukah and Purim, the two Tamchin D'Oraisa, the two supporters of the Torah, they uphold the Torah, they present us with this philosophical question, historical question. Purim has a Megillah as part of Tanakh. Chanukah has a Megillah, it's not part of Tanakh. That teaches us the conclusion, God stopped speaking to man. That's why there's no Megillah Antiochus. That's why Chanu Chafhei. They rested when they got to the 25th book. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, you know what Chanukah stands for? Ches Nevi'im. Eight books of the prophets. Vav Kisuvim, six books of the scriptures, Hey Megillahs, and not Megillas Antiochus. That's the meaning of the word. Chanu Chaf Hey, they rested when they got to the 25th book. Ches Nevi'im, eight books of the prophets. Vav Kisuvim, six books of the scriptures, five books of Megillah. Therefore, Chanukah and Purim are Tamchin D'Oraisa. They uphold the Torah. They uphold the authenticity, the veracity, the historicity of the Torah. Therefore, we could say that Chanukah and Purim are also two good friends. They're two good pals. They need each other. The contradiction that the two of them present us with sort of brings to the idea, the contradiction that it brings us. The contradiction that it brings us to is brings us to the concept and the teaching that God no longer corresponds with man. You know, in the Parshas Emor, which is the Parsha of the Mayadim, talks about Pesach, Sfira, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Vayidaber Hashem, as Vayidaber Moshe's Medan Zomine Yisrael, Eile Moyade Hashem. And then right after the Parsha of the Moyadim, we have the Parsha. Right after Eile Moyade Hashem, Asher Tugros Mekor Kosh, Eile He Moyadoi, we have the Parsha, Tzavetz Bnei Yisrael, Veyikhu Eilecha Shemen Zayis Zach. Says the Roy Keach, this is a remez to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. In Parshas Emor, after all the Yomim Tovim, we have a remez to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And after the Yom Tov, after the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, the pasuk talks about the mitzvah of arranging the shulchan. Chasam Sofer says this is a remez to Purim. How is the shulchan a remez to Purim? Chasam Sofer says beautifully. In Masechta Megillah, the Gemara lists the pasuk, "Vehakarohi veilahav karshina sheisaran masasar shish meres marsna amimuchan shivas hare parasumadai roye pnei amalech hayushim rishayna bamalchus." And the Gemara says these are not just advisors of Achashverosh, but seven arguments that the Malachi Asharis used to defend the Jewish people. They were Karshna. Did the nations of the world ever offer Karbonos of Karim B'nei Shana? Shesar. Did the nations of the world ever offer Shtei Soirim? Admosa. Did the nations of the world ever build a Mizbeach Adama? And finally, Memuchan. Did the nations of the world ever bring Lechem HaPanim to you. Memuchan was the winning argument to defend the Jewish people. In the times of Purim, the argument that defended us was the mitzvah that we do of arranging the Shulchan. Comes out, the menorah represents Chanukah and the Shulchan represents Purim. The amazing thing that the Gemara tells us about the Shulchan and the menorah. The Gemara says in Yuma Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis that the Shulchan was in the north, on the right side, when you entered the Heichal. And the menorah was on the right, on the left side, when you entered the Heichal. In the south. And in between the menorah and the Shulchan was the Mizbech HaKetores. But the Gemara says that the Mizbech HaKetores was not, was Mashuch Kima, was a little bit out, not interposing between the Shulchan and the menorah. De Ba'inan de Chazina Nahadadi. They need to see each other. The menorah and the Shulchan need to see each other. And this takes on new meaning in light of what we're learning. That the menorah is Chanukah and the Shulchan is Purim. And these are two supporters of the Torah. They are the Tamchin d'Oraisa. Or the Shlach HaKadosh says, they are two friends. So it comes out, Marv Raboisai, listen to this. When Esav is the progenitor of Christianity, after all, we know that from Rav Moshe David Vali, that when the prophetic message of the Rav Ya'avoid Tzair, the older brother will worship the younger brother, meaning Esav will worship a Jew, his God will be a Jew. That's the prophecy of Christianity. Esav is coming to destroy Chanukah and Purim. Why of all Yamim Tovim do you think Esav is coming to destroy Chanukah and Purim? Because Chanukah and Purim are the pillars of the authenticity of the Torah. They demonstrate that the belief of Esav is Sheker v'chazav. Chanukah and Purim teaches that the law was never abrogated, that God stopped speaking to man. Because of this contradiction, Purim has a Megillah, Chanukah does not have a Megillah, and the answer is it's because God stopped communicating to man. So the utter nonsense of Esav is demonstrated by Chanukah and Purim. It is no wonder then that when Esav comes to attack Yaakov Avinu, Esav goes for the jugular. Esav goes to uproot Chanukah and Purim. Vayiga begamatria Chanukah, Kaf Yerechai 336, begamatria Purim. And these two Yamim Tovim inspire us to await the great day of the next divine communication of Hine Anoichi Shaileach Eis Eliyah Hanavi Lefnei Ba'yom Hashem Hagadov Hanoira. Chanukah, they stopped after book 24. They didn't add book 25. Ches Nevi'im Vav Kisuvim Hey Megillos V'zehu. Marv Raboisai, have a wonderful day. Bracha v'hatzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.